Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Who can the customer complain to if
if basically the money trail all goes back to the same pocket. In essence, that's what you're looking at when you're saying Encore and TXU are owned by the same company. What does the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, think about this? Well, I was told this week by Mike Murphy with Encore that they were aware of it and that they did not have a problem with it. Well, let's see what my panel thinks tonight about that and about other issues concerning the smart meter. The overbilling issue, health hazards, fires and explosions associated with the smart meter. Thousands have lost their jobs due to the smart meter, or will lose their jobs due to the smart meter. It has never been federally mandated. There's no UL signatures on it. It poses privacy issues and so much more. But before we bring on my panel, let me remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. My guests tonight include Mr. David Wilner with Wilner and Associates out of California. Also, we have tonight Ginger Russell with Band Smart Meter's Facebook page. We also have Thelma Tormina. She's with the 912 Group. Also, John Marler. He's with Tea Party of Williamson County and Syntex 912 Group. And last but not least, we have Chris Shine. My switchboard tonight, for some reason, is having problems. If you're supposed to be on the panel tonight, if you would raise your hands, because for some reason everything is showing no hands up, and I saw some numbers that I recognize, and others I do not. So if you're supposed to be on the panel, just make certain for me if you would press 1 so that I can easily come to you on the switchboard. Okay, here we go. Is everyone with me tonight? Good evening.
Good evening from California, David Wilner.
Okay.
Ginger Russell.
Ginger Russell.
Harry.
Uh-huh. Thelma.
Yes. Good
okay,
evening.
John Marler, are you with me?
Yes, I registered.
Okay. And Mr. Shine, if you're with me, I do not know what number you're calling in from, so if you would make certain that you press 1 so that I will be able to see you on the switchboard.
This is Chris Shine, and I pressed 1.
Okay, gotcha. Mr. Shine, we have never met. I didn't have an opportunity to speak with you this week. Can you tell us your colleague, Catherine Cuellar, who was with us 2 weeks ago on the show about smart meters, told me that she was not going to be able to be with us and she was going to send one of her colleagues. So tell us, what exactly do you do?
I work in the communications department at Encore with Catherine.
Okay. And your particular title is what?
Senior Director of Communications.
Okay, gotcha. Well, is that the only title that you currently hold with utility companies or energy companies at this particular time?
Yes.
Okay. Because we were researched, because when she told me about you, I didn't have any information on your bio, so we took the opportunity to try to find out all we could, because we really didn't know how to introduce you, because I didn't have a chance, like I said, to speak with you prior to tonight. Are you currently on the board of TXU Corporation?
No.
Okay. Were
not
you previously?
Never have been.
Never
not
have
on
been.
The board. Is he the director of communications for TXU?
No, I'm not. They're a different company, and we are not affiliated with them.
Why does your ProPix website show that the entry you dated, you put in, was that you were, sir?
I'm not familiar with ProPix, and I can't verify the accuracy of anything that's out on the internet that I didn't personally put up there.
Really? Okay. Are you associated in any way with Energy Future Holdings?
No, I'm not. They're a completely separate company than what we are. We have an independent board of directors from Energy Future Holdings. And now we do share some investors, but we have an independent board of directors that treats Encore separately. We're ring-fenced from them, and so I'm not affiliated with them.
Wow. For some reason, and I don't know, and you all, we're referring to the website www.netprospects, that's P-R-O-S-P-E-X.com, and they show you to be the director of communications with TXU. Also, they show that you held the position of assistant executive director of meetings and plannings, and they also showed that with Energy Future Holdings, you were the director of communications.
That would be wrong, wrong, and wrong.
Wow. I suggest you call the moderator of that website this evening and tell them that they got you wrong, wrong, wrong. So we were just really trying to understand how that could possibly be, because we really consider that to be a conflict of interest. So you're seeing altogether all of that is inaccurate.
I'm not affiliated with Energy Future Holdings. I'm not affiliated with TXU Energy. I'm not affiliated with any of their other businesses.
Okay.
As I said, Encore is a separate business, and we have a separate board of directors.
Okay, gotcha. Let me ask you, and I asked in the intro, do you consider the fact that Goldman Sachs owns both TXU and Encore to be a conflict of interest?
No, I don't, because as I said, we have an independent board of directors. It's independent by SEC standards. We have more members of the board who are not affiliated with the separate investors than we do representatives of the investor groups.
Okay. Well, you know, the PUC, from what I understood from Mike Murphy this week, is they were aware of it and they don't have a problem with it at all. Is that accurate?
They are aware that we have common investors, and they are comfortable with it. And as a matter of fact, the Texas legislature wanted to make sure that Encore was separate from the Energy Future Holdings and had an independent board of directors, and so was the Public Utility Commission. And so everybody worked to make sure that Encore had this independent board and that we are from them.
Okay. I'm going to let the panel jump in. Mr. Marler, we'll start off with you. Questions for Mr. Schein.
Mr. Schein, my basic question is, why is it that the utility does not want to submit the smart meters to Underwriters Laboratory?
Well, I guess, you know, let me circle back, and your question supposes that there is evidence or proof out there that there's somehow bad. There have been a number of tests. There have been a number of studies that have shown that they're more accurate than the electromechanical meters are. The kind of radio frequency that's used in those is used in a number of appliances and equipment that we all have throughout our house.
You know, I really didn't ask you for a review of your propaganda sheet. I asked you for an answer to the question. There is a reason why you're not going to Underwriters Laboratory, and you have CCST, the California Council on Science and Technology, and a number of other reports that have been debunked on the Internet, debunked in presentations in, before scientific councils, and all the questions come down to there's no proof on your side of the equation that these things are safe. There is enormous proof on the other side of the equation that they are unsafe. And yet, all it would take is for anyone to go to the Underwriters Laboratory for a thorough, third-party, totally isolated testing. And yet, the question I asked you was, why are you not submitting these to Underwriters Laboratory, who is truly concerned for consumer problems?
Because we feel as though they're safe, we feel as though they're accurate. I mean, as you said, anybody can submit it, and so you're certainly welcome to do so. And as far as, you know, information on the web debunking, you know, we've already demonstrated clearly that not everything on the web is accurate.
Yeah, especially the stuff that you're putting out, the stuff that are you saying Cindy Sage and the seven massive scientific reports from Norway, from England, from Canada, from the four or five from here in the United States are inaccurate?
What I'm saying is, you said yourself that you you could submit it. And so, you know, if you're genuinely concerned about it, then submit it.
That's not the question I ask you. Why is it that you won't?
As I said, sir, we didn't submit it because everything that we have seen, everything that we have studied, clearly demonstrates that they're safe, clearly demonstrates that they're more accurate. That's why we did not.
And what you came back with was, we feel. I wish to deal with facts and figures, and when I compare CCST or the various reports that are put out by Encore and PG&E and on and on and on, compare them to the scientific, thorough investigation done by Cindy Sage, by other people, the facts that come up from their visuals is in direct opposition to yours. It's not a matter of feeling, sir. It is a matter of fact. Why can we not have a fact of proof?
We can agree to disagree. As I said, you know, we're confident in their safety. We're confident in their
accuracy. That leads me to my second question, sir. The second question is, if this is a republic, and especially in Texas, why is it that we are cramming this down our throats without one iota of consumer request for this, and we're not being afforded the opportunity to exercise a freedom and liberty that is supposed to be guaranteed to us to opt out?
The fact is that the meter is our equipment. We're changing the equipment. And in the same way that we change transformers,
you're not answering
we're changing
question.
Meters.
You're not answering my question.
Because it's our equipment.
You're not. So
Excuse
because
me.
It's your equipment, you have the right to demand total obedience to the collective. You're saying that you have created your little Soviet collective and you must join it or you don't get power. That's what I'm hearing you say.
I disagree with the language you used.
What is the difference if I take out Soviet collective and just say collective? Is that not what you're forcing us into?
No, sir. It's not.
How is it not?
Really?
It's our equipment. That's what we're switching to. And like I said, in the same way that we don't check with you whenever we change transformer equipment. We're not going around for a vote of all 7 million people on our measurement.
So
Terry,
you are
can I
saying
break in
that
here?
You must join
okay.
the collective. I've got my two questions, the initial questions out. I'll pass it over to the next party.
Okay, Thelma.
Yes. Is it Mr. Sheen?
Shine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My name's Thelma Tormina, and I'm not in Dallas, but I do have a kind of follow-up question to what Mr. Marlar just asked you. I guess you're an American, right?
I'm sorry,
You're an American, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Growing up in America, didn't you always think that you had choice?
I'm trying to figure out where your point is on this.
This is a personal question, and I'm asking you, as an American, did you not grow up believing that Americans have the right to choose?
Yes.
They have that freedom, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes to these smart meters, I understand what you're saying and the argument you're trying to use, that these are your property, and so being that it's your property, you have the right to change them or maintain them or do whatever you want. But my question to you, sir, is since the residential Americans living in this state own their home and they buy the service from you, why do they not have a choice of what type of meter that they have on their home?
Because we don't have any way to be able to collect the data if we don't have the new meters.
Okay, wait a minute. You can collect the information and bill the people now with the analog meters. And you're telling me you don't have a way to collect that information.
No, we will not in the future, no.
We're eliminating
the meter reading positions as a result of this.
I understand that. So my question to you is, if you've got a populace and they're consumers of yours that are really against these smart meters, why are you not keeping some meter readers on and letting them have the analog meters?
I mean, the fact is that the cost for that would be absolutely prohibitive.
Okay, but I'm not asking you about the cost. That's not what I asked you. Cost or no cost, you aren't even allowing the American public in the state of Texas the right to choose. You are not allowing them that. You are forcing us, all of us, because you, CenterPoint, I don't care who it is, you've all made this decision that you're going to put these smart meters in so eventually you can put us on the smart grid nationally and possibly internationally.
No, don't tell me no.
Don't tell me no. Because it is out there on the where you buy your meters from, they specifically state that that is the end goal. So either you better get your meter suppliers straight or you better get the public straight, because they outright say the ultimate goal is to connect to the smart grid nationally and internationally.
Yes, it is.
So maybe you better talk to them, because that's right out on the front page of their website. That is their goal, along with Toshiba and every other company that they're hooking up with for metering of water, gas, electricity. So if that's not the end goal, you better explain to me why it states that on the suppliers of your meters. And that is the supplier of your meters. There's only one in the state of Texas that I'm aware of.
Is that correct, Mr. Sean?
That there's only one supplier of meters?
Yes, sir.
No, that's not correct.
Okay, so who's your supplier then?
Landis and Gear.
That's them. Look on their website and look what it says. The ultimate goal of these meters is to get us all on a smart grid. You know it, I know it. So why can't the power company just come out and say it?
So I think what we may be getting confused with here is the term smart grid. Yes, it is the goal of the utility to put the new technology on there to make the grid that we have smart.
It can what?
So that
I mean,
we
come
can
on now. There is a future goal here, and we all know it.
Okay.
So let's not play stupid with one another. The state of Texas has already committed to sign on to the National Smart Grid. But in order for us to do so, you have to get every home in the state of Texas with a smart meter, or it ain't going to work. And you've got a lot of customers who don't want these smart meters.
Is that correct, Mr. Sean?
I have no idea what a national smart grid is. The Texas grid, the Texas grid is for all intents and purposes independent from the rest of the nation. I really don't know what she means by a national smart grid. And certainly not an international smart grid. So,
okay, let's do this. We're going to put that on pause. David Wildner, can you jump in right here and explain to him the smart grid?
Well, good evening, Chris from California. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And thanks for being on the program. If I may, I'd like to go back to an earlier question.
Sure.
And for your information, Chris, I am an EMF consultant and a regulatory advisor in California, and our business is focused on tracking down electronic pollution surveys, environmental surveys, so that's my background. I'm also interested in regulatory issues, and we're actively involved before the California Public Utilities Commission to get an opt-out option for people in California that don't want a smart meter, just as they did in Maine. So I'm actively involved on two fronts. Going to my question, which is following up on what John talked to you about, and it's also of great interest to us here in California, is the Underwriter Labs registration. And from my point of view, the registration, I think, is necessary and would be would calm the waters, so to speak, with subscribers to eliminate some doubts. For example, according to reports I have here for your company, there were fires in Arlington, Texas, back in August of 2010, two houses. I guess one was on Brook Hill Lane and the other was on Grants Parkway. Forgive me, I don't know all of the neighborhoods and cities there. And according to the fire investigator, he said that when the old meters were pulled out from the homes, that the main electric feeds to the houses were accidentally pulled out as well. And he went on to explain that what that was doing basically was making contact with the electric box or the wiring inside the house, causing a short and then subsequently a fire. And I can understand when you have 2 million meters installed that something can go wrong a couple of times. But following up on this report and from comments from Miss, I guess it's Jenny Molina, do you recognize that name?
Yes.
Okay. She said that the insurance companies would do whatever they could do to resolve the problem. But more troublesome was the fact that we're talking about thousands of meters, thousands of locations where there were wiring problems like this, and where Encore paid electricians to correct the problems. So there is some issue here in terms of safety. And so wouldn't it really be better for your company to go ahead and have these meters registered with Underwriter Labs to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
So I think there's two points that I'd like to raise. First of all, as you said, the fires were actually the result of removing the old meters. So other than the fact that we were there to install a new meter, this is in no way associated. Those fires were in no way associated with the smart meter. Smart meter did not cause those. As far as you know, again, I'm gonna fall back to what I said earlier about the Underwriters Laboratories. I mean, we feel confident in their safety. We feel confident in their accuracy. You know, if others would like to have UL do an exam, you know, certainly welcome to do so. But as we look at everything that we've seen, we feel confident in moving forward.
Well, I appreciate your answer, Chris, but I still have some difficulty here. According to your chief executive officer, I guess it's Robert Shepherd, I hope I have his name right, he explained the problem differently than you did. What he said was that the wiring in people's homes could not support the new smart meters. And so the problem really did relate to the smart meters. Had your utility not disconnected those meters, there wouldn't have been a problem. They'd probably still be there, and the customers would be getting their monthly bills. But instead, your company insisted on installing the smart meters, and that's really what caused the problem. Now, just continuing one step further, I understand now that your company policy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that when they do install a smart meter, they have an electrician check the wiring. And as a matter of fact, before they even hook up the smart meter, if your technical people are following the protocol, they are actually disconnecting the customer's power at the transformer, particularly in the older neighborhoods, with a bucket truck. And then they're hooking up the smart meter to see if there's any wiring issues. So the real question is, should you people back off on installing these smart meters where there's a potential for a fire or damage to people's property? And also, Chris, I'm even troubled more by this report, that if your technical people in the process of installing a meter find that the wiring is insufficient, in their opinion, they can red tag that customer's service, require the customer to put new wiring in or a new back box if that's necessary, and they do that with the customer's power disconnected. In other words, they red tag the service and they leave. Now, does that sound fair to you, Chris?
That sounds like the safe thing to do, because and certainly compliant with city code. I mean, that is what that is all about, is complying with city code. If we identify a home that is not up to code and presents a safety hazard on anything, then we are obligated to red tag that disconnect service and have the homeowner make the appropriate repairs.
Well, you know, Chris, I would agree with you 100% if it was a code violation, but that's not what's being said. What I'm being told by the experts is that in some of the older homes, the wiring doesn't support the smart meter, and that it's up to the customer to have the house rewired. So now you have this poor, innocent customer of yours sitting there. He or she didn't have a problem. The house wiring was working fine. The old mechanical meter was recording their energy, and life was okay. Now along comes the truck. I don't know if you use subcontractors or not. You can tell me later. And suddenly it's time for a smart meter. And so the utility says, well, geez, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am. Before we can go any further, it's going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 to rewire your house or more. And you may have to replace the breaker box also. That may be another $2,000. So now, under the theory that they're going to benefit from this new smart meter, this customer has a $4,000 or $5,000 bill to pay. So and I don't know that there is a code violation. It may be just an issue of older wiring and not being able to handle the surge that goes through that meter. So do you really think that it's fair for people to have to lay out that money to get the so-called benefits from your smart meter?
Well, I want to go back to when you were referencing Bob Shaffer's comments. It's entirely possible that the article that you read didn't appropriately or accurately represent what he said. The smart meter itself does not require an additional electrical demand that creates any kind of safety hazard like this. The smart what we do is we're able when we are at the location to identify code violations. Because we are there to take the meter off. Yes, it is true that in those older neighborhoods, there are certain criteria that we do have electricians accompany us, and we will, if we identify a house that meets the criteria, that is consistent with the kind of house that when we pull out the old meter, that the wiring is going to, it basically welds to the old meter. When we pull that old meter out, it's going to cause those kinds of fires. So, yes, we do. And as far as red tagging, red flagging a house that's in code violation that presents a threat to the homeowner, you know, I think that's actually a strong benefit to them, because they didn't realize the threat that they had at the time.
Well, that's very kind on your part, but I'm not sure there was a threat. I think everything was calm and fine before you started. But let's just shift gears for a moment. I appreciate your response. Obviously, I don't agree. I don't think that ratepayers should be burdened with additional costs because you have a new meter you want them to use. But I do have another question, and this arises from our earlier telephone discussion with, I think it was Catherine. I hope I have her name right.
Mm-hmm.
And during our conversation, we were talking about how these smart meters communicate with your data center. And either I got confused or she got confused, so maybe we could clear that up. How do your meters communicate with your data collection center?
It's an RF mesh back to a collection point, and then depending on the location of the collection point, it's either hardwired returned, or we use some other communications technology that's available.
So it's all wireless technology that you have? Well, I looked on your website.
Back to the collection point, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm still confused then. I looked at your website, and your Encore driver service territory says that you're using multi-technology, that you're using power line carrier for customers in less dense areas. You're using
From the collection point back to Encore's data center.
but not from the meter?
No.
Okay. And would that also be true of the broadband over power line? You're using that also from the collection point back to your data center?
In certain remote areas, I believe we are using BPL. I'd have to double check that. I know that our early plans were in some of the areas to use BPL.
Okay, so at a minimum, you're using at least two technologies to get the information back to your data center. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay. And so presumably these two technologies are compatible. You have a mesh network for one. Is the broadband over power line compatible with the mesh network?
Yes.
It is. Okay, those are my questions for the moment, Chris, but I have some more when my turn comes up again.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight for the topic, Encore Smart Meter and the Money Trail. We're talking with Mr. Chris Schein with Encore. Also, we have on the line John Marler, Ginger Russell, Thelma Thelma. We're going to call it Thelma tonight, y'all. And David Wilder. Okay, y'all, tonight's segment is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. If you have a question or a comment, get on the phone lines now. Call us up at 347-850-8390 and press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can also post it up in the chat room in bold, and I will try to get to it by the end of the hour. Next up is going to be Ginger Russell. But before we take her, we've had several calls holding. We're going to go to them, and then we're going to pick up Ginger Russell. Area code 831-655. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hi. My name is Nina Beatty. I'm calling from California.
Hi, Nina.
This has been such a burning issue in California with the smart meters. There's just a lot of alarm by the public here. Some people say, well, it was the manner in which Pacific Gas and Electric rolled it out, but that's not really true. The issues around smart meters, the wireless nature, the health impacts to people, and there have been so many problems that have arisen with the smart meters that however this technology gets rolled out, these problems are going to surface. So I wanted to call in tonight and just contribute anything I can to as far as letting people know what's happening here in California on this issue.
Wasn't there some violence this week out there in California about the smart meter?
Not that I've heard of.
Wasn't there like a riot or I don't know if y'all were protesting and somebody got roughed up or something like that? Wasn't the case with Joshua and his group?
There was someone that was there was a meter being installed on their property in an apartment complex that they were in, and the person was the tenant of the property. One of the tenants attempted to stop the person or attempted to photograph the installer, and the installer shoved him and then smashed the camera that he had. The tenant hadn't touched the installer, and now complaints are being filed with the police, and hopefully an investigation will follow up on that. So, but there was a protest at the Public Utilities Commission. There have been a variety of protests in California, and there have been several people arrested at different protests. So that's in some of the cases, they've been attempting to stop trucks from leaving the installation yards to go out and install in the neighborhoods. So it's been a fairly tense situation here with people very much wanting to stop this deployment and feeling like the Public Utilities Commission is ignoring all their very legitimate concerns about this.
Wow. Now, Mr. Schein, you all are not encouraging your installers to put their hands on someone if they refuse a smart meter, are you?
No, we're not. Customer refuses, you know, we'll try and talk to them about what's going on. If the customer's adamant, we'll leave and then contact them later. Again, everybody that we've talked to so far has ultimately agreed to have a smart meter installed. And, it's just a matter of us taking the time to talk with them, let them know what's going on.
in the event that you come across a customer who is not interested in having a smart meter installed on their home, what is the procedure at that point?
Let's say they refuse. We'll leave the premise, and then we'll contact them by phone and talk with them, at some point, the customer has traditionally agreed to let us come install a smart meter on their home, and then we go out there and install it.
But I guess my question is, if there is a customer, and there will be some in the very near future, who
mm-hmm.
say, because we're going to make enough noise that somebody's going to get bad enough, or not bad enough, but be courageous enough, I guess I should say, to say no. If that is the case, what is your procedure for that?
I mean, ultimately, if they say no, absolutely, positively not, then we'll simply go collect our existing meter.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, if they don't have a meter, then they don't. Then they will not have electric service. So you have to have a meter to have electric service.
Wow. Okay. That's what I thought you were saying. Okay, thank you, Ms. Nina. Appreciate you calling in tonight. We're going to go to another call, 831-359. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 831-358 or 359?
Are you talking to me?
I am indeed.
Oh, that's my long-distance service number. Okay. Thank you for having me on, and I would like to direct this question to everyone. I think that the company isn't really telling everybody about what's coming down in the future because people don't want this much radiation coming to their homes right now to the point of the meter. But in the future, there's going to be radiation directed throughout the home from and to the home area network, a central computer in your home, that it's going to communicate with all these devices that are all new appliances with a microchip in them that's going to microwave like from your refrigerator to this home area network computer, and you're going to be standing right there in your kitchen getting microwave right through, and that's going to be a considerable more radiation than they're even emitting now. And when I do talk to people on the street, I would say at least 8 out of 10 people do not want these meters as they are, and they're not being told that this Han unit is going to be in their home in the future. And another concern of mine is that it is the push behind installing this comes from ICLEI, which is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, a UN organization that has contracted with electrical companies to deploy these meters to be part of Agenda 21, which is has three prongs to its approach. It wants to control all human activity in the smart growth communities, destroy private property, and educate us for global citizenship. And this is an organization that 600 cities across the United States have signed up into and are implementing this through their various planning departments and projects like this. If you want to see that in California that ICLEI collaborates with PG&E, you can find that on a website called Statewide Energy Efficiency Collaborative. And you'll see that ICLEI's logo on there, and so is PG&E's and other electric and gas companies. And it has
can someone post
about
it in the chat room? Can you repeat that again?
Statewide Energy Efficiency Collaborative is a website. Another website that would explain Agenda 21 the best is freedomadvocates.org.
We're very familiar with Michael Shaw.
Yes.
Mr. Chris Schein, would you like to respond to anything she said?
I don't know how to respond. I'm not familiar with those organizations that she referenced. As far as how we operate here in Texas, and I'm not sure just exactly what California's plans are, but we don't have any plans to install a home in customers' homes. Clearly, for those customers who want to utilize a HAN, a home area network, the benefits, the potential opportunity for those for lowering your electric bill are immense. And I've seen firsthand as I've gone to and talked with various appliance manufacturers developing this, how it can lead your electric bill to plummet. And, you know, personally, as soon as they're available.
I thought that myself. Did you say plummet? I thought you were saying spike. I don't know why I didn't hear you say plummet.
I got him on this one.
Really?
As commercially available, I'm going to be in line to purchase one simply because I can see what it will do to my electric bill.
Do you have a smart meter on your house, Mr. Shine?
Yes, I do.
Really? Okay. How's it working for you?
So far, it's been really good. As I look at my electric usage this year over last year, my consumption's down. We're a little bit more aware. My kids are more aware of when they're leaving lights on and when we're
what is your consumption
visit
a month?
The Smart Meter Texas. Pardon?
What is your consumption a month?
My electric bill was $600, so I'd have to go back and look at what my consumption was. But it was less than what it was last year, and last year I had did not have an advanced meter, and we had a much milder summer last year than what we had this year. So
yeah.
It's already starting to pay some dividends. We haven't fully utilized its capabilities yet. It's still a little new to us.
Thank you, caller.
Carrie?
May I ask you, and then we're coming to Thelma Tiramina.
No.
Mr. Shine, what do you keep your thermostat on at your house?
I don't know what we keep it on. Let me look and see.
Oh, you're not like Catherine Quasar. You don't keep yours at 82?
No.
Family wouldn't be happy, huh?
The 72. I figure I work hard, I studied hard in school. If I want to keep a cold house, I'm going to keep a cold house.
Wow. Okay, I love that. Ginger.
Yes.
Your comment.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Yeah, hi, Chris. This is Ginger, and I have a Facebook page that I've had a couple of weeks. It's Band Texas Smart Meters. And today I started up my own web page. It'll be Band Texas Smart Meters. And I am in the middle of updating that and everything, and I have two questions for you. Number one, I'd like you to tell me what you think the general reason is that they are mandating pretty much globally, and especially in Texas, since that's where I live, to put these smart meters on our house against our will. What is the ultimate goal of the smart meter in your perspective?
Very good question.
So I don't know of anybody that's mandating.
Y'all are making us put them on there.
Let me clarify. I am unaware of any legislative intent, either in the U.S. or globally, to mandate meters.
Is that not what's happening here in Texas?
Oncor, no. Oncor made the decision that what we're going to do is we're going to install this new equipment. It empowers the customer to lower their electric bill, and it helps us increase reliability and lower long-term costs.
Frankly,
I mean, this is the same. The electromechanical meter is the same technology that you have in a rotary phone. Nobody's got rotary phones anymore. That's because there's better technology. And the same is true on meters. There's no reason why anybody should have technology that's 40, 50 years old.
Well, only if it costs them triple the amount to use it, I would say maybe I'd be more interested in the older meter than the newer one, don't you think?
Let me interject here. Number one, we all know that this is a behavior modification tool that you're implementing and putting on our houses. It's not to save energy. It's for us to sit around and look at the usage. I mean, if you go and do your research, and I have, believe me, along with everybody else on here, it's to moderate our behavior. That's the only way you're going to save money, if you stay around and watch your meter and adjust your usage. And Siemens, right here, Siemens said the development of this infrastructure is being driven by national legislative programs which demonstrate a belief that smart metering enables customers to respond to their own energy use. That's all it is. And it has to do with the CO2 emissions, which I think is false allegations. It's false science. You're basing it all on. And CenterPoint's doing it. So y'all are making us do it. Y'all are making us put them on our house. Or we don't have electricity. Is that not mandating us to do it?
What I said was it's a legislative mandate to require them.
Well, when you call the Texas Public Utility Commission, our CenterPoint, which is my provider, they tell me that the legislature approved it in 2007.
Carrie, when you have a chance, this is David Wilner. I'd like to comment on this point, please.
Okay.
If I may, Chris, I'm more confused about your statement that Texas seems to be an island down there someplace, totally disconnected from the rest of the world. My research tells me that you folks are spending $686 million to do this upgrade. That's just for the components, not the operation and maintenance. I also see that you folks collected $317 million from the Department of Energy stimulus money, which is part of the federally mandated Energy Act signed by the president. I also know that
you're...
Let me finish, Chris, please. I'm also aware, with all due respect, that your company, in order to collect the federal stimulus money, gets paid by the smart meter. So you've got 2 million smart meters in to date. Your target is 3 million by the end of, I guess, 2012. And in order for you to collect all of that money from the Department of Energy, you have to install those meters, and this is part of a national grid program. So how can you say that you're just down there in Texas and you're all by yourself?
When I asked where you saw that we got stimulus money, I'd be very interested in finding that source, because it's quite wrong. We didn't get a penny of stimulus money.
Well, according to the Department of Energy records, in 2009, you requested $317 million, and according to your application, that was one half of the total cost. You didn't receive any of that money?
No, we did not.
Okay,
are you certain about that before you say definitively, Mr. Shine, that you did not?
Yep.
Okay.
So then you're then telling me that... So the customers have had to foot the bill for the entire $686 million. Is that correct, Chris?
That is.
Okay.
Wow.
And then, wow, that is. That's quite a chunk. But nonetheless, looking at the same information from your website and your records, you show savings of $176 million by eliminating the meter readers. That $176 million, how does that work out, Chris? Do those people are out of work, or what happened to them?
Every one of the meter readers is given an opportunity to be trained to be, rather than be a meter reader, to be a meter technician. And so it's the same as upgrading from being a typewriter service repair person to a computer tech. And that's really where we are migrating towards. There have been some people who said, no, that's not something I want to do. Some people have elected to retire. The meter readers generally are a more transient profession. The young people doing it for an interim job. But for those people who wanted to utilize this as an opportunity to get with the utility and get a good long-term career, we are giving them the opportunity to be retrained so that they can be meter technicians.
Okay. Well, you show $176 million in savings, and you're telling me that some of that's going to evaporate because those people are being relocated in your company. Is that correct?
I'll trust on the $176 million. I thought it was a number different than that. But any savings that occur as a result of new technologies that we deploy, those savings are passed on to customers. and through lower rates.
Well, Chris, your rates went up.
Wait a minute, where would they get the lower rate from? I'm going to jump in just a second, Amy.
Yeah.
Where would they get the lower rate from? Because it's not like their electricity company calls them and say, hey, lower rates are available. That's not happening. So how would that be passed on to the customer through a lower rate?
We're a regulated utility, so we go in on a regular basis and have all of our costs fully reviewed and analyzed by the Public Utility Commission, consumer groups, city officials, and all of our costs and all of our cost savings are then entered into a formula that is then passed on to customers. So if it costs us $100 to provide service and we've got 100 customers, then each customer pays a dollar.
Okay, we're going to have to get back to the phone lines. Ginger.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Chris?
How are you this evening?
Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, he's listening.
Yes, I am. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. This is Ginger once again. I have a question. A lot of people are concerned about the privacy issue of our information being transmitted through broadband and stuff. What is your take on that?
Now, again, Texas is a little bit different than the rest of the nation in that Oncor does not send a bill to any customers. So we don't have any financial information or anything like that. All we have are a customer's usage data. And that data is encrypted utilizing the same types of security software that the nations and world's leading banks use to protect their data. And so anytime you are transferring data from one location to another, you have to be extra diligent, and people are constantly trying to hack into that information. We are looking to the leaders in that type of security to help protect it. I think another layer of security that I'd like to emphasize is that the computer systems that monitor the grid, that ensure the reliability of the grid, are separate from the computer systems that are transmitting the data from the smart meters. And so, you hear a lot about the worry that somebody could sit at home and hack through the system, into the system from the meter, and that simply can't happen.
Okay, well, let me go here. Texas Utilities Commission had gotten Navigant Consulting, and in the report issued Texas Utility by Navigant, it says, we did not conduct an exhaustive investigation to all aspects of advanced meters. And then at the end of it, it says, such as questions relating to security or privacy of advanced meters are beyond the scope of our efforts in this investigation and this report. So that's not a good report. And are you familiar with Honeywell?
The security firm?
No, well, Honeywell makes meters also.
Okay.
In response to the Department of Energy and implementing the smart meters, Honeywell responded to them, privacy and security are best served by transmitting detailed consumption data directly from the meter into the customer's premises. Any approach which moves detailed consumption data through networks outside the premises or stores such data in remote locations incurs unnecessary privacy and security risk. And it also says the decentralized storage of data makes the data susceptible to remote attacks. Furthermore, the consequences of a potential security breach in a centralized location can be much more serious. The compromise of a central location could lead to the loss of data from a large number of homes or facilities, which in turn could allow destabilization of the grid if all those homes or facilities were affected by an attacker. Now, this was on the Department of Energy's website and their documents and stuff. So I think our concerns for our privacy are well-founded. If Honeywell, which makes smart meters, considers it also to be a threat.
And again, I'm going to go back to that's what separates Texas from a lot of other states out there, and that at Reliant.
Like no one can break into it? I mean, I have a computer at home. We're always concerned about somebody hacking into our private stuff. You saying it's not going to happen through this process of the smart meters?
Never say never. There are no absolutes when it comes to
security. Why take that chance with people? Why take that chance and make us have one?
I mean, I think the, you know, first of all, we store your existing data, usage data, on computers and computers today. So it's not as if we're suddenly introducing computers into the system.
It's not acceptable to be in. This is just ridiculous.
Anytime you have a computer, it is vulnerable to being hacked. That's why we take those extra measures. And CenterPoint and Encore, we don't have any of the financial data like the retail electric providers. If there were a data compromise in any way, what people would get is usage data.
Okay,
you say that it's y'all's equipment. If that's the case, why are we paying for it?
Okay, we
got to
pick up another.
Again,
go ahead, finish the answer, Mr. Shiner. We got to move on.
The way regulated utility works is all costs, all investments are paid for by the customer ultimately. The Public Utility Commission reviews those costs, deems which costs are reasonable for service, and includes those in rates. If they're deemed inappropriate or excessive, then they're not included. And the Texas legislation basically created the wherewithal so that the Public Utility Commission could view the advanced meters as a reasonable investment. That goes back to a previous question about whether or not the Texas legislature mandated them. No, they didn't. What they did is they created the vehicle that allowed the Public Utility Commission to consider those costs to be reasonable, and it also created a vehicle that would allow for the broad installation of these in a timely manner.
Well, then they're mandating them.
Okay, we got to move on. Area code 972-492. Thank you for holding so long. Good afternoon. You're on center stage. 972-492. Good evening. You're on center stage. Last call, 972-492. Good evening. You're on center stage. Okay, we're closing your line. Thelma, you had another question. Thelma.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Carrie. Had John mute. I see Calvin wants to ask a question too, but I just have a quick question for Mr. Shine. Landis+Gyr, that's how you pronounce it, is that correct?
Yes.
I see that they are also the ones that are installing the smart meters in New Zealand. And New Zealand has actually put a ban on them because of the fire hazards. So once again, I guess I need to ask John's question again. Why don't you go to Underwriters Laboratory and have them test these meters so that we as customers are absolutely sure that they're not going to cause fires with our homes?
We're confident that they're not going to start fires. We've installed 2 million meters.
But your consumers are not confident.
I think he said that you could take them yourself, and he said that several times. Tell us how we can take those ourselves. Is that what you said? We could take it ourselves and be tested, or what did you tell us?
The cost of the laboratory is too high.
Okay. Okay.
That's why they don't want to do it. They don't want to pay for it.
No,
mm-hmm.
So they don't want to find out.
John Marler here. Can I get in? Right,
okay, and then we're
going
to go back to the phone line. Chester, Mr. John Marler.
Did Thelma get hers answered?
Thelma, does that answer your question?
No, not really, but, you know, whatever. They're going to dictate to us, and this man obviously doesn't care any more than any of the rest of them.
I think that's That's unfair. I mean, I do care, and we are on the phone. You know, Catherine was on a couple of weeks ago for 2 hours. I'm on tonight for 2 hours. I mean, we do care. We want to have a healthy, open dialogue, and nothing would make me happier than to be able to allay all of your concerns.
If you really wanted that, you would go back to your higher-ups and tell them that there are thousands of customers out here who do not want these meters and are leery of these meters because they have caused fires. And don't give me the garbage about it being the house. If you hadn't changed it to a new meter, these houses would not have caught on fire. It is that simple. It is that simple. But if you really care, you would be pushing to have these things tested by Underwriters Laboratory. But obviously, Encore, nor CenterPoint, nor any of the power companies in the state of Texas care about their people enough to have these things tested.
I think that their silence says it all. Calvin Russell,
I'm not sure what else to say. I mean, I've said repeatedly that we're confident in their safety. If there truly are thousands of customers that are concerned, you know, I'm certain that they could take up a collection and get those tested. I mean, there's just simply not enough evidence out there to demonstrate that these meters pose a risk.
Okay,
John, no, wait. I really need to ask this man this. Here's the thing that I don't understand. You are saying to everyone in the state of Texas that in order to have power, we have to accept these meters. And yet, no, you're turning around and you're telling us you didn't have them tested by Underwriters Laboratory, and you have concerns over this, and your company, who is making all the money off these things, will not be caring enough about their customers to have these things tested. You tell me where that sounds like you're worried about your customers and how they feel about your company. I don't really see that, and I don't even want to hear about the PUC because the PUC has bought right into all this, and one way or another, either we're going to stop these things or you're going to get them tested.
Yes, you are.
Hey, this is Calvin. Can I ask a question?
Calvin Russell, you're on the line.
Thank you so much, Mr. Shine. I want to say I appreciate you being here. I know it's a hot seat. I'd like to ask you a couple of different questions if I could. You say that, that the ultimate decision is that our electricity will be cut off if we, in fact, refuse the smart meters. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware of any communities that have been successful in their ability to refuse a meter legislatively?
Not in Texas.
Okay. In California, yeah, that's right, not Texas. In California, there's been some areas. And so what you're saying is that you can't even provide electricity because you're not going to have meter readers, the technology to work with our old equipment. But that's really not the case if in fact there's some areas, some pockets where the resistance was strong enough to where whether a judge granted an injunction or whatever, that they said you could not put the smart meters there. So if it happens in Texas, are you going to have a way to provide electricity, or are you just going to – what would you do in that instance?
I mean, we'd have to see – what happened. I'm not very good at hypotheticals.
I appreciate your civility, but I sure hope that happens. The other question was you beat the not testing because you feel they're safe to death, and I understand all that. But the reality is, if someone is able to prove that your meter is faulty and is a danger to either my health or my wiring or a fire hazard, well, then I've already paid for your meter every month in my bill, and you're going to have to come and with a brand new program we've got to pay for again. How would you respond to that? Now, that's another hypothetical, but what humor.
Yeah. So again, I stink at hypotheticals. What I will say is that you know, the Public Utility Commission reviews all expenses, and if they deem that an expense is imprudent, it doesn't matter how high that expense was, but the company has to absorb it. Meaning the company has to absorb it, meaning the customer doesn't pay for it, the company does.
Well, okay. So I misunderstood a while ago. Then I thought you passed along to the customers. I must have misunderstood you.
We pass on our cost to customers after it has been reviewed by the Public Utility Commission, and the Public Utility Commission deems it to be a reasonable cost of service. And so if they deem, and again, hypothetically, if they came back later and said that these new advanced meters were unsafe, and if they say that Oncor should have known that they were unsafe, then they could reasonably say that was an unreasonable expense, and so customers don't have to pay for the replacement.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you letting me ask the question.
I got to ask something. Carrie.
You just did it. You've come to our stage tonight for the topic, Oncor Smart Meter and the Money Trail. We're talking to John Marler, Ginger Russell, Thelma
Taramina,
David Woolner, and Chris Shine. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. If you're on the phone line and have a question or a comment, press 1. And I see a number 132. We're coming to you after John Marler and Thelma come up next. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or comment, press 1. Or if you listen to the end via the internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, put it in bold in the chat room. And as I glance in throughout the night, I will pose it to the panel. Okay, was it John Marler up next or was it Thelma?
No, it was John Marler.
Okay.
Chris, has there ever been a massive implementation, the nature of what's going on right now with these smart meters, anywhere ever in history?
Yes.
What?
I mean, you can certainly look at the Rural Electrification Act. You know, that's one that comes to mind off the top of my head. I can also think back to when the efforts to remove the PCBs from transformers. You know, I'm sure that there have been more, but those are two that come off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, where there was no capability of bowing out in the Rural Electrification Act, that was mandated by the federal government, but it was also given the rights of each community to say they want it or they don't, and that didn't stop the vast majority eventually capitulated, but there was numerous areas in West Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky that said, no way, we don't want to do it, and it took them years to do it, but it was still an opt-out. Now, the urgency that is being impressed upon us by all the utility companies in Texas and across the nation concerns me that, number one, there has been no consumer request or demand for this, and there is You state that you're confident in your reports, yet every scientific report, the three major security associations in the United States have all decried either the security failures of these things or the privacy failures of these things or the EMF failures of these things or the very fact that there is a potential surveillance issue involved in these meters, and yet you're confident that these are okay and no concern should be ever expressed by anybody. And to finalize my comments, if we're paying for them, how in the world are they yours? How on earth do I pay for something and I pay for you to have ownership of it?
Well, I think you look at that same thought process on roads and highways. You pay for those, but you don't own those.
You're not
right
a tax
now,
authority.
See, you look at all the equipment that is out on the grid right now, the wires and everything else. Those have costs to the company to install, and all utilities need to have the opportunity to recover those costs. In the same way that when you go to McDonald's, you're paying for the recovery of the cost for that building.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
Wait a minute. You told us just a few minutes ago that you have the right to come in. Now, from what I've understood you to say, I have already paid for my meter that I currently have, and you are going to come in and take it away from me and replace it with another meter that I have to pay for. And I don't understand the ability for you to do that if I'm paying for it, and you're not a taxing authority, and you're not McDonald's. You are a utility. And I didn't get to the roads. They had to come to me and ask me for the money. I had a right to vote. No one has ever voted to have these electric meters put in to our homes. Not one.
Well, you didn't vote to have the wires run to your house either, but it's an obligation to serve everybody, and as a utility, that's what we do.
No, you don't. You're telling me that I have to take your other meter and stop the service that I'm completely happy with.
Mr. Sean?
Stop the service. I'm sorry, I got lost on that. Could you amplify that for me, please?
Okay, you're saying that you're doing it to serve me, and I choose not to be served. But you're saying, no, you must be a collective member. You have to be part of our collective, and you have no options, no alternatives, and there's not going to ever be a vote for the people to select this.
Yeah.
And you even made a broad statement that I wrote down here. Most people don't mind these things. Most people don't know you're doing this.
That's right. Most people.
Everybody
don't.
That does know finds out about it, they start sending the letters and demanding that you do not have implied consent and that we are going to try to fight it. There's a massive movement here in Texas to try to file as many class action lawsuits as we can against you and CenterPoint and Georgetown Utility and everybody else. There is a movement underway that we're going to try to take our liberty and our freedom back against your mandate, which is by very definition a fiat demand that we surrender our rights and our liberties to you.
I really don't see how you're surrendering your rights or your liberties. The equipment that's on the side of your house, it belongs to us. So I'm not sure how that equates.
Well, I think in the lawsuit we're going to mandate that we're going to make the allegation that we have paid for these things over our billing life, and they belong to us, not to you. And that's the cause of action. But the whole point that I keep getting back to is if anybody's a Star Trek aficionado, you're coming at us with the Borg mentality that you are resistance is futile. You will be a part of the collective. And that is not American. That has absolutely no foundation in our value system, our character of America, and our ability to be called free men. Where is the freedom being expressed by us that says we have a right of any kind? You're telling us you have no rights. That is not American. That is not proper. That is not the way it should be. And you even alleged that there was going to be absolutely nothing that's going to, you don't keep the records and so forth. Then why was a subpoena served on you by Dallas court saying they wanted to monitor a home that had an a smart meter, and the minute power came on that was showing somebody was home, they were able to go and arrest that person? what you're saying to us is you're treating me or you're treating the panel here as though we are total idiots, and you're talking to people who have researched every inch of this thing. You claim that you're confident in the reports. The reports have been debunked point by point by point by genuine scientists who spent time and did not copy the manual of the smart meter company into their so-called scientific report. These reports are out there on the internet. There are pages and pages and pages showing the meticulous methodology that they used, and every one of them have shown that you've got a problem in all of those areas, and yet you're confident. I think that you might want to look into the Nuremberg trials, because what you're saying to us may come up at some point in the time in the future where you're going to say, I was only doing my job and I was only repeating what I was told, but you're going to be personally liable for all of this stuff because you will have to face an ultimate judge that I think is going to be very harsh on your actions.
How do you respond to that, Mr. Sean?
I commend his hyperbole. I mean, it's the first time I've ever had the Nuremberg trials tossed at me. So, I mean, other than that, you know, let me say, you know, I go to McDonald's four times a week, and I paid them a ton of money over the past, you know, 10 years. Doesn't mean I own the grill. Doesn't mean I own one aspect of McDonald's. But you know, I hear the concern, and I'm sorry that you feel this way. I mean, but what I'm hearing here is that from Mr. Marler is that we're going to agree to disagree.
Do you really hear us, Mr. Sean?
I do.
I sometimes, and I've talked to Catherine, I've talked to Mike Murphy, and I've heard you tonight. I really don't get the impression that you all really are letting it penetrate that people are not happy with this. Let me ask you this. On average, how many complaints are you all getting a week on Smart Meter, honestly?
We went through a period there where there was a lot of confusion about the smart meters. Mr. Marler said nobody knows that we're installing them. You know, you can go look at the news coverage in Dallas-Fort Worth media. It would be hard to have missed the story that we were installing these smart meters. So I think people are well aware, and based on the number of inquiries we got from customers, which ranged, you know, escalated to the thousands, I don't have a current count on that, but you know, the number of inquiries we get can be measured in the hundreds per week, and the number of genuinely upset, such as Mr. Marler, you know, would probably number in less than a dozen a month or so.
Oh my gosh! You even reinforced my point, Chris. This is John Marler again. You reinforced my point. When you go to McDonald's, they're amortizing the cost in the hamburger, but you have a choice. You have a choice to go in there or not go in there. The thing that you are denying the public of America, and especially of Texas, is a right to choose. And I'm passionate about it because it is a violation of everything that God-given, unalienable rights tells me I'm supposed to have. And that's what the Constitution guaranteed us, but you're violating the Constitution by the very fact that you're saying you do not have a choice.
I'm pretty sure the Founding Fathers didn't reference the smart meter.
Oh my gosh. That's ugly.
You don't believe that the Founding Fathers did not want government to dictate everything to the citizen? You're dictating.
Mr. Marler.
That's what you're doing.
Mr. Marler, we can agree to disagree.
Mr. Marler is a fine statement, but let me ask you this. We can agree to disagree, but let's at least agree to disagree on facts instead of feeling.
Mr. Sean, let me ask you a question. You know, I just thought about what you said, and it took a minute for it to sink in. I asked you how many complaints were you getting on the smart meter on average during a month time. And I don't know if I understood your answer, but you mean with, as you all put it, the temperatures being as high as they have been, and I'm sure people getting record utility bills, you mean that you all haven't had a spike in complaints recently?
Oh, we've absolutely had a spike in inquiries with high bills, but not
inquiries, or are you speaking of complaints? Because there's a difference.
So people call and say, I'm darn mad about my high electric bill. You all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's an inquiry or a complaint, we absolutely have seen a tremendous spike in those. In terms of seeing a dramatic spike in people calling and saying, my electric bill went way up and I'm angry and it's because of my smart meter, no, we haven't.
Are you serious? Are you serious? So is it because they don't know that it got put on, though? Is that what it is?
That's
maybe
right.
You all, because it's not like you knock on every door and say, hey, we're changing your meter out. In a lot of cases, if people are at work, you just, if there's access to the smart meter, you just go into their yard and exchange the old meter for the new meter, correct?
Well, we certainly try to knock on every door in advance and let everybody know
in advance.
That's our process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't mean that there aren't occasions where one of the workers may not follow all the procedure exactly as we prescribe. That's, we want to let everybody know that we're getting ready to.
Do they leave a note?
Yes.
Yes, they do leave a note.
Yes,
they do. I've talked to several of my friends that have had it installed. They're surprised when I told them about this. My gosh, I have one. Not one of my friends have received a note, a knock on their door, or anything. So I would challenge that, sir, if they're leaving any type of documentation on the front door that it's going to be done.
Well, then, I'd be interested in knowing the neighborhood in which that was done, because clearly we had an installer who didn't follow procedure.
Be glad
and
to
know
that to you.
I want
to
know that. I want to know that.
I'm going to let you know it. I'm going to give it to you.
Well, you know what? Let me bring another complaint to you since you're taking complaints tonight. Mr. Murphy talked with a friend of mine this past, I think it was a week ago, just about a week ago, about a bill of his. He has a rental property that has been vacant for several years. I think maybe a couple of years. Let's just say 2 years for sure. That can be basically verified by any neighbor that lives on that street. There's no utilities on at that house, and there's no utilities being used at that house, and there's no AC unit. The first month, he got a bill for zero. The second month, he got a bill for $100. The third month, he got a bill for $700. We told Mr. Murphy about the bill, and Mr. Murphy assured him that he would take care of it and my friend would be rebuilt. My friend called me the other day and said, I got my new bill, and it's $800 and some odd. That's unacceptable. I mean, I don't even know how y'all going about doing what you're doing. Some of it is just not even making any sense. No rhyme or reason. It's just not even making sense.
Well, so I spoke to Mr. Murphy about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week. Anyway, I mean, we've talked to that customer's retail electric provider. The retail electric provider has said, "Yep, we're gonna rebuild. We're gonna give him the $800 credit." The fact that he got another bill, that shouldn't have happened. Clearly, human error on that. And the retail electric provider knows. We know that customer does not owe that money. They are going to get credit, but that's, that's human error. That's really not unrelated to the smart meter itself.
But how many human errors are there, and how many smart meter errors are out there that people are paying for?
We've
because
got 3 million.
If he had been someone, go ahead. If he had been someone who did not know any better, that, you know, I hadn't been talking to about the shows that we're doing on this, he may have felt like, okay, I have no recourse, because he called, he talked to the people at his provider, Reliant, and basically he had been told, listen, you know what, we don't know what to tell you. The meter reads that, so you're stuck. That's what he was told. You know, we don't believe you, so therefore you're responsible for this bill. So how many customers, because every time you see one person, that represents a group. So the question is, how many people is in that group?
Well, I promise I'm going to answer your question, but you know, your friend should have gotten a better answer from the retail electric provider. Your friend should have gotten the answer that said, that's what the meter says. If you dispute that, contact Oncor.
But see, you know what the problem is, Mr. Shine, with all due respect? When you call Oncor, Oncor says it's the electric company. You call the electric company says it's Oncor. So how do you think the customer feels being bounced around like a ping-pong ball about situations in which their utilities hang in the wings? If they don't pay it, they're going to be shut off. And if they do pay it, they're basically paying you for services that they didn't use or usage that they didn't use, because I myself have a situation in which you all are charging me for what I know I didn't use. So I have no recourse, because if I don't pay you, I don't have utilities. And that's not fair. And you know what? I don't care if I have to go to the ends of the earth doing these shows until somebody hears me. I will post it all over the Internet. I will make sure everybody in Texas knows there's a problem with the way this thing is going down. You all, I mean, I'm sorry, I appreciate you showing up tonight, but y'all are just not answering the question satisfactorily. I mean, every time a person has a problem, it's not me, it's them. It's always somebody else, but the customer is the one that's being helped and left holding the bag. That's just not right.
So I thought, and if I didn't, I apologize. I thought I said that we had made a mistake with your friend's bill. I mean we readily admitted, acknowledged that we made a mistake. It was human error.
But he's rebilled another $800. Basically, the three bills equaled $800, and then he got, after you all said you were rebilling him, he got charged another $800. So six in one hand, half a dozen in another. He still charged over $800 for utilities he didn't use. After the rebilling, he's still being charged $800. Moving on. I'm sorry,
Belman. Let me address that. We made an error. We're going to fix it. We've talked to the retail electric provider. That $800 bill is not correct. We've notified the retail electric provider. I mean, we can't send him a bill. We've notified the retail electric provider. Here is the actual usage. Here's what he should be billed. Significantly less than that $800. I don't remember exactly what it was, but the we're trying to correct it. And as far as getting a runaround, yeah, I know exactly what the runaround is getting. And as a matter of fact, I spent all day today getting the runaround from my insurance company. And so I get it. And while we are far from perfect, we don't want customers to get the runaround. We want customers to be able to call us and say, here's my problem. We may not be able to give them the answer they want all the time, but I can assure you that we're going to do our very best to give them the honest answer and the respectful answer.
Mr. Shine, you know,
yes.
And I want to believe that, but I myself, before your smart meter was put on my house on May 3rd, my bill was averaging $100. The average usage per TXU for a customer is 2,000 kilowatts a month. You all said last year this time I was averaging about 2,300. Well, immediately after you put your smart meter on my house, my bill went up from 100 to 318 in 1 month. Never seen that in the 10 years that I've lived here. The following month, it went to 525.
God.
You said I used, or your company said, I used 3,745 kilowatts of utilities. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't sit in my house with the temperature at 72. You know where I sit with my temperature at? Excuse me. My temperature is set at 82, a very uncomfortable 82. So I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing, but I don't have light switches on all over the house. I don't have TVs going in rooms that I'm not in. So, excuse me, something's wrong with the way your meter is recording. But I can't seem to get that across to anybody, excuse me, that works with you. And so what recourse do I have?
You know, so I'm not familiar with your specific situation, but you know, if the meter's accurate, you know, your bill, I mean, everybody's bill went up. You said it hadn't been this high in 10 years. Well, it hadn't been this hot since 1980. And so, yeah, that makes sense that it hadn't been that high.
Because it hasn't been that high, I went from an average of 2,300 to 3,745, and the only thing that is on most of the day is my computer, my refrigerator, and the AC. And you're telling me that I spiked that much, really?
The AC is what drives it.
Are you saying it's driving it that much, though? Because I really want to get a clear picture of what you're saying, because that really doesn't make sense to me. Because you know what? Even though it's been hotter this summer than it's been in most summers, it hasn't been that much hotter. And so it was hot last year. It was hot the year before. And all day it's not 100 degrees. So I understand at 100 degrees the AC works harder, but at the same time it's not 100 degrees all day long. So how many hours a day is it really 100 degrees?
Well, it's also it's been more than 20 or 25 years. I'd have to go back and look since the low temperature has ever been this high. The average daily low temperature has been this hot. I mean, it just never cooled off. So, I mean, besides being 110, it never cooled off at night. And so, you know, we had lows in the mid to upper 80s. So that in and of itself, I mean, that's going to cause your air conditioning unit to work that much harder. I mean, I went to Smart Meter Texas and looked at my electric usage. They, there was a dramatic drop between my 5 o'clock daily peak and my 3 a.m. usage, but my 3 a.m. usage was still high. That's because it was 87 degrees outside. I mean, that's
but you've got your thermostat at 72. My thermostat is at 82.
But my point remains consistent whether your thermostat is set at 82 or whether it's set at 72. 82 is still cooler than 87, and so your air conditioning unit is working throughout the night.
No.
So you think the temperature remains
at 5 degrees? Come on.
The temperature is not 87 degrees all night, Mr. Shunk.
Even if it was, it'd get to 82 at 87.
Yeah. I'm just being very honest, and I really appreciate you coming on, but I just don't know that you all are being very honest with us, and we're not going to call you any names, as Catherine said. We called her names the other night, but we just want you to be honest. I mean, if you're going to come on, at least come on and be honest.
I am being honest. I may not be telling you the answers you want to hear, but I assure you, I'm being honest.
Karina,
Selena. Yes.
Your question?
Yes. Chris?
Yes.
Honestly, I have to say, I think maybe you are being honest and you've been fed a lot of spoon-fed answers. I'm not really quite sure. But I do have a question in regards to the installers of meters. And then I also have a personal question for you that maybe you might want to think about, oh, I don't know, let's hope not too long, a few weeks or a few months at the most. My first question has to do with the installers and how they get paid for the meters that they install. Is it per meter, or is there a flat fee at which companies are hired and then their workers go out and install the meters?
I don't know how they're paid.
Maybe you ought to find out. Because
Chris, are you serious? You're telling us you don't know how the meter installers are paid. You don't know if your contract self, I mean, you don't know if it's Encore workers or if it's contractors?
Oh, it's they're generally contractors. We do have and so the contractors, I don't know how they're paid. Some of our former meter readers are also installing the meters, and clearly they're paid by the hour. But I'm not sure. What the contract for our outside firms are.
You might want to find out, because they're very overzealous. My other, so to speak, question, maybe more of a statement, is that maybe you ought to look into some of the concerns that we really are having with these smart meters. Only because if you're an American citizen and you truly understand what freedom is about, and you really stop and think about it, as an individual working for Encore, can you honestly tell me that you don't mind the fact that a huge corporation and at least two other huge corporations are telling every residential customer in the state of Texas that in order for you to have power, irregardless of whether you're infirm or whether you're old or disabled or whatever the situation is, no matter what that individual person's personal life is like, they are mandating that these meters go on even when the customer adamantly does not want it. Are you honestly going to tell me as an American that you think that is right? That is a personal question, not an Encore question. And when you really stop and think about it, are you honestly that willing to give up your individual rights to work for a company that is mandating that these meters that so many people do not want go in? You're going to tell me that if you agree with that, then what you're saying is you don't think that the individual has the wherewithal, the knowledge, or the freedom to choose which meter to go with. You are outright telling them you have no choice. You want power in the state of Texas? You take this smart meter, whether or not it causes fires, whether or not it's a health hazard or not, whether or not your personal information is secure or not, you will take these smart meters. And you're going to tell me as an American, an individual American, you feel that that's right.
Well, I'm confident that with this answer, I'm going to get some feedback.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I mean, what I really want you to do, no matter what your answer is to contemplate that a little bit as an American. I understand you're working for a company, but that's a company. That's not an American. That's not an anything. That's an entity. And as an individual American, you're telling me that you are comfortable giving up the right for all of your personal information to be able to be accessed by who knows who, to also be able to tell how many people are in your home at any given time, what your temperature is set at. Eventually, it will read the barcodes inside your refrigerators. You're telling me that you're comfortable with that as an American.
Thelma, I'm going to Are y'all there? I'm on the heels of that. I just want to quote, this is Honeywell's in his response to the Department of Energy. It says the data is sensitive from a privacy and a security standpoint. For example, energy consumption is a strong indicator of occupancy or lack thereof, which may invite crime. Would consumers want others to know when they are not at home or in the facility? It's a great concern of ours. You can go ahead and answer, Chris.
So, as I was about to say, I'm sure I'll get lots of positive feedback from Mr. Marler on this answer. But the fact is that I'm not just some talking head. If I didn't believe in this, and if I didn't believe what we were doing is right, then I would not, I certainly would not be on this program for 2 hours extolling the value and virtues of it. I've done my research. I'm comfortable with the safety of the meters. I'm comfortable with the security of the meters. I see the potential benefits.
What are they?
Empower me as me as a consumer, not me as Encore, me as a consumer. I can take the information that's on there. There is all sorts of equipment that is in the near future that will be available to consumers where I can lower my electric bill. And bottom line, if I've got a $600 electric bill and all the studies indicate that I should be able to reduce my bill by 10 to 20%, that's $120 that I can put in my pocket.
Can I
Chris,
on that?
Chris, I have to really ask you this. You sound like an intelligent man.
Yes,
okay?
He does.
I don't know how old you are, but you sound like an intelligent man. Let me ask you this question, since you are intelligent. Are you telling me that with an analog meter, you don't know how to reduce your electrical costs?
Without a smart meter.
It's not there in front of my face.
Excuse me?
It's not there where I have the data that I can use. I mean, the way you're built for electricity now, I mean, it's Neanderthal-like.
I don't care. That's not what I asked you, sir.
No,
let him finish.
The it's not in front of my face. This equipment is in front of my face where I am reminded. It's giving me the raw data where I can analyze it. The way I buy electricity right now, it's like going into a grocery store and just throwing stuff in the cart, and then once a month the grocer sends me a bill. I have no idea how much.
Are you serious?
Let me jump in right here. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we listened to Catherine tell us how to reduce our bill, and she told us how basically she was doing so many great things. She had her thermostat at 82, and she line dried her clothes. Well, that sounded like, wow, she's really doing her part, to cut down usage and consumption and all that. But at the same time, Catherine doesn't even have a house. Catherine has a condo. So we'd like to know exactly where is Catherine line drying her clothes. Because in a condo, there is no place to do that. Where's the line? On her balcony?
I don't know. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care.
Because you all sent Catherine on, and Catherine got insulted when people told her that she was lying. But obviously Catherine at some point was lying to us, and she told us that. And you can go back and listen to the tape. Catherine said that.
Okay. Anyway, the question I was about to, was it Thelma that, who was it that asked me the question?
Thelma,
how much did you spend today on your air conditioning? How much did you spend today on your electric air conditioning?
What difference does it make?
Do you have
the temperature that I want it at?
Do you know? Do you know?
I don't care, to be honest with you.
Just tell her you didn't care if you had yours instead.
I will pay.
So she didn't
I will
care
pay
either.
What is necessary to keep my temperature where I can breathe. Because if I had it at the recommendation of the PUC at 78 degrees at all times, I'd be dead because I couldn't breathe. So I don't care how much it costs me. You know, that's the nice thing about being an American. I can spend as much money on power as I want, or I can reduce my cost. I choose to have my temperature at 70 degrees at all times. Now, I don't care what that costs me, quite honestly, to be comfortable. And I don't need a smart meter telling me that I need to raise it to 80 degrees in order to reduce my cost. So I don't really care, sir, how much it's costing me per day or per hour. And that'll be the next thing. Next thing, you'll be wanting us to be on a demand where it's the time of the day that you run this and your costs will go lower or higher or whatever. Well, you know what? I don't care. I need it 70 degrees 24 hours a day.
Carrie,
and if I'm willing to pay for it, who has the right to tell me not to?
Ginger, was that you?
I was going to ask him a question.
Okay. I'm sorry. We want to give him an opportunity to respond to Thelma's question, if he'd like.
I would. And my point is you don't have any way of knowing how much you spend on air conditioning. You don't have
any
idea.
I do know. Don't tell me I don't know. Because if I want to know, I can make sure every other electrical appliance in my house is unplugged and just run the air. So don't tell me I don't know. When I replaced our air conditioner, it changed the amount that I was paying for electricity. So don't tell me I don't know. But I don't need a smart meter to tell me. I
don't need
a smart meter.
You can buy devices at Home Depot to tell you how much you're using, though, can't you?
Huh?
Mr. Shines?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over conversation.
You can buy those devices at Home Depot that tells you how much your usage you're pulling with each appliance. Is that not correct?
There is, and you know there are a number of people who find value in that, and because it allows you, the consumer, to be better educated, and you know, if you want to keep it at 70, keep it at 70. If you don't want a time of use rate, don't get a time of use rate.
You
it
know that
matter,
you
though.
Know eventually that's what it's coming to.
Chris,
I mean, come on,
Chris. This is Ginger.
Yes.
We
Ginger.
Ultimately know why they're putting the smart meters on. It isn't because we can sit around and just view our energy uses every hour. I mean, I have better things to do. I should hope that you do. Now, I contacted the state or the Texas Public Utilities Commissioner, Kenneth Anderson, about this week because I know it has everything to do with climate change and the green movement. His response back to me through an email, which I will make available to anybody and probably put it on my website, bantexasmeters.com, that it has nothing to do with the green movement or climate change. How can a Texas Public Utility Commissioner make such a false allegations and lie like that?
Because it doesn't.
It has absolutely everything to do. Are you familiar with the plan of 2025 from the Texas Energy Department? That's all it's about is the smart meters and conserving energy and the CO2 emissions. That's all it has to do with, Chris. And if you're not aware of that, you need to educate yourself.
It's a tool.
We don't want your tool. We don't want your tool.
Okay, y'all, we're down to the last.
Sorry, I didn't mean it.
We're down to the last 8 minutes of the show. Listen, we're going to take final comments. David Woolner, final comments, please. I'm sorry. Oh, boy.
Okay, well, it's almost 8 o'clock here in California. The temperature is mild. And I enjoyed listening to the latter part of the discussion this evening from all of you, and my comments are pretty simple. Chris, You impress me as being a very honest and forthright person in my judgment, and I think you've done your very best to answer questions. There are some issues that require further consideration, and I think the underlying problem, my sense from the conversation, the tone of the conversation is that some people resent being told that they have to have a smart meter. And some people, including me, feel that we should have a freedom of choice. And if somebody wants to opt in and have a smart meter and get the benefits, assuming that there are benefits, they have every right to do that. But people should also have the right to say, no, I'm happy with my analog meter. If you're going to charge me a couple bucks more per month to come out and read it, I'll pay it, and I'd like to be left alone. And so I think that's really what this thing is revolving around. And in the United States, my experience over the years has been that monopolies at times get too heavy-handed with people. In our earlier conversation, the idea that if you don't accept the smart meter, we're going to pull your analog meter and turn off your power, to me, is overreaching by the utility. So I would encourage you, Chris, being that you're fair-minded, to think about that and urge Encore to think about this and the possibility of having an opt-out program in Texas for those people that want freedom of choice, and let them pay a little bit more for their analog meter and make their lives happier. Thank you, Chris.
John Marler.
What?
I'm getting confused. John Marler.
Okay. Well, I appreciate Chris's hanging in there. I am deeply concerned. What I envision is, Chris, you may be an honest man, but you're an honest man just as the salesman at Fry's is an honest man. He's being told exactly what he needs to be told. He's being told exactly what is the best product for the customer coming in, and he believes it to the utmost degree. Plus, he's getting his paycheck. But the reality is that that person has no idea what is the best machine for the customer. He doesn't have the knowledge base to even imply that he knows that. So I'd really be concerned about that. The second part that I have is that the fact that you don't even know that there's a national grid requirement of every grid software installation just blows my circuits. That is something that I just believe about. The other comment that I have is that what we've heard so much from one side is here's facts, here's figures, here's data, here's where you can find information, and then we have, but we feel confident that we are right. The other thing is the nanny mindset that was just expressed. We know better than you. We're doing this for your benefit. This will help you. Yet you're not being given a choice whether or not this is going to help you. We're going to help you if we have to kill you, meaning take your meter away. And if they want to hold to their liberties and to their freedoms, they end up dying in the heat or the cold because they no longer have power from you. These things are the key factions of everything that's part about Agenda 21, and everybody needs to wake up to Agenda 21 and the fact that the people that Lenin calls the useful idiots are running the show. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we fight every end of every possibility, and we need to band together, mm-hmm. and we need to come together, and we need to present this evidence in a very clear, concise, precise manner so that there is no dispute and that these tests and everything like that that refute everything that the power companies give us should be made public in every possible way. I hope that in the future we will end up in that boat, but right now we're not. As he stated, we are to be part of the collective. That is our choice. We either die or we become a collective member. Right now, I'm willing to die. Next person.
Okay, Ginger Russell.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for being with us tonight. I know it's a little heated in here, but we just are very concerned. I'm 51 years old, and I will fight to my dying day for my children and grandchildren's liberty and freedom here in this country. And I just think this is overstepping the boundaries. and I'll just do what I can to fight it.
Thelma Tormina.
Thank you, Chris, for hanging in there. You've been a gentleman throughout the whole evening, and I appreciate that. But I really wish you would do a little bit more research. I know you feel you've done a lot and that you know a lot, but honestly, there is scientific evidence out there against these meters, and it's not just nuts that are out there saying that they're bad. And I'd like you to give at least a little more thought to the idea of what it actually is doing to the individual American's rights. And really, if Encore cares, they would come up with a program, and so would CenterPoint, AEP, and all the rest, in order to have an opt-out situation for these meters.
Okay. That's going to have to be the final word. We'd like to say thank you to my guests, David Wilner, Ginger Russell, Thelma Tormina, John Marler, and Chris Shine. Also a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also a reminder, September 30th, 2011, that's next Friday, y'all, from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time, we're back to Agenda 21, Conspiracy Theory or Real Threat, Part 2. Again, thank you to the guests. Thank you to the audience for listening. I challenge everyone to get involved. The only way we're going to fix this is that everyone does their part. Until next time, you all, good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello.